Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on July 2nd, 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to try to bring a little light to your life in our discussions about anime, a few of which are occasionally on Toonami. So, I guess we'll start off with what is purportedly the season finale of My Hero Academia. And I say that because, okay, I'm beating a dead horse, but this really does feel like the second episode of a new season.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, so Endeavor continues his fight against that, the monster, and manages to beat it, and then at the end, it's like the writer suddenly realized, oh wait, uh-oh, Deku's the main character. So we have a quick thing of a dream of his.
Yeah. and that was pretty much it, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I like the episode. It's just, this is such a weird thing to end on. Because... it would be one thing if it was just like, okay, we're like, I remember how that time I got reincarnated as a slime ended with this just one-off episode about, Shizu? Was that her name? I can't even remember. But,
you're right.
Which was actually not a good episode anyway, but, but my point is it made... If you've reached the end of your sort of story by before the end of the season, you know, something like that makes more sense, like a brief sort of, you know, like, okay, here's a standalone story. But then again, I mean, they had the story from the manga. They kind of had to do what they had to do. I do wonder if maybe they should have just made this be a 23-episode season, but I suppose to someone sometime in the future, you know, just watching through the show, it won't really make a difference then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I was trying to figure out the significance of this episode. Like, why did we really need to have this story about Endeavor? Was it just so we could get some backstory on Todoroki?
Well, I mean, there's that, but there's also the fact that this sets up stuff for the next that happens later.
Okay. That answers my question.
There's more focus on Endeavor in the next season. So. Which, like I said, would have felt less weird if this was the start of a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do feel like I'm kind of beating a dead horse there.
Yeah.
Let's see. So what do we have? I'm just checking on the schedule thing. Yeah, I don't. I was trying to see if they've announced what's replacing My Hero Academia. Yet.
Oh, I'll look for it as we go through this.
I'm trying to look. I'm not seeing anything offhand. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, after that we have Paranoia Agent. Now, I was confused enough by this episode that I planned to watch it again before the podcast, but I put it off and then it was too late by the time I was actually going to watch it. So, I'll just go by what I saw. So, this is episode 10 of Paranoia Agent. So, the plot of this episode is that there's going to be a cartoon based on that Moromi character. You know, that cute little one that actually is... Honestly, it does make me like think, oh, that's kind of cute. Maybe if I was younger, I would actually want a plush toy of it or something. But people in, and it's confusing. I'm a little confused about how much of the sort of stuff we were seeing was flashbacks and what stuff was dreams. But looking at what other at like synopses of this, basically what we were getting was a story about how there's a team trying to put it together, but they kept dying, apparently killed by Lil Slugger. And then the guy who was in charge of it, who wasn't doing a very good job, ended up like trying to drive the tape over to the network to air it. But then Lil Slugger shows up and kills him. But then they get the tape, so they're like, "Well, we got the tape."
And you forgot to mention that while he was in the car, he turned on the radio and the theme song of the show came on. Mm-hmm. And I actually went back and watched like the real opening to the show. Mm-hmm. It is even creepier than what we get on mm-hmm. Cartoon Network. It's still just people laughing, but it's like even creepier.
I think the cartoon, the shortened one is creepier because the longer one, there's more of it, but it seems to like take its time a little more. So it's not like random person laughing, person laughing, person laughing, person laughing. And that one is like person laughing, concentrate on for another, move on to another one. It's not quite as frantically paced.
Well, I did find out what's replacing My Hero Academia, and I'm not very happy with it. It is Dragon Ball Super.
Okay.
Which is like a real letdown, but okay.
Yeah. I hope they get something we're interested in soon, because once Paranoia Agent leaves, what are we going to talk about that's actually on Toonami?
Well, I did watch Black Clover. I caught up on it. So, the last three episodes,
Okay.
So, not everything. Yeah, but...
Okay, maybe we can discuss that when we get to that, which would actually be the next thing we would discuss. But I have more things to say about Paranoia Agent. So I have three problems with this episode. First, this is the third episode in a row that hasn't had any actual advancement of the plot. I mean, I know the series has kind of been leisurely about that, but always felt like it was moving towards something. This and the previous two episodes just felt like random sort of standalone things that had nothing to do with what was going on previously, other than just inserting Lil Slugger into them.
You know, it kind of reminds me of Ghost in the Shell, how like sometimes you have episodes that advance the plot, and then other times you just have standalone episodes.
Yeah, but the thing about Ghost in the Shell is that it wasn't how do I say it? There was an overall plot, but it also was still also sort of a procedural series. You know, like Case of the Week and such. This series had a many parts of it were episodic, was more specifically focused. It's weird. It had much more focus on the overall story, even if a lot of times each episode was kind of its own standalone story. But they felt like they related to each other to some extent, not so much these last three. Now, maybe this one will lead to more things in the next one, but for now, it just feels like, oh, another just random episode that didn't seem to have anything. Because the early episodes had some continuity in that you had the detectives trying to investigate it. The people often had some kind of connection to each other. But these ones are just kind of, like, just feel so much more random. Second, I'm very confused about... And again, this one is another case where maybe it'll make more sense, but it was very established strongly that Lil Slugger went after people who were at some kind of super low point, and the attack actually had the effect of improving things for them. This and the previous episode just didn't have that. They just have them attacking people for no apparent reason, and apparently killing them, too, rather than just hitting them. So now, okay, maybe it's like making the point, okay, Lil Slugger is changing or something, or maybe this will all make sense when it's revealed. Fine. Here's the biggest problem with this episode I had. Well, outside of, is the fact everyone is very weirdly blasé about people dying. Because,
yeah,
like, previous episodes, yes, they were very weird, but they all made sense within, like, real life. Like, I mean, there's obviously what's presumably a fantasy element with Lil Slugger, but the way characters react to it is realistic. Even the weird video game episode, that was established clearly as occurring just within the kid's mind. It was not reality. Whereas right. Here we have all these people just dying and getting killed, and everyone's just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, like, the guy, like, you know, the person is dead at the death. There's blood there. And the person, like, is just, like not even really paying attention to that. Now, maybe it's supposed to be some kind of satirical thing about how hectic and hard, apparently, the anime industry is in Japan for the people working in it. But, you know, where everyone's just like, oh, it doesn't really matter as long as we get the thing out. But it's just done to such a weird extent that it just does not feel very, it feels unrealistic in a way that previous episodes were not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. You said it a lot better than I could, though. My biggest problem with this episode is the fact that I couldn't figure out what was reality and what was not. And then you had all those little things with Moromi showing up with.
That was kind of funny, I thought, but.
Yeah, it was. It was. I just. I for some reason decided to really look into Paranoia Agent this week, so I found out that the reason why that opening song is like so loud is because the creator of it it was put in a very late night TV slot, so he purposely made the theme song really loud so it'd wake people up. And then the closing theme song would put people to sleep. There's that. And and basically everyone else was just saying that you're not ready for you're not ready for Paranoia. So yeah,
maybe I will go back and rewatch this episode just because I want to try to figure it out. I just feel like the problem with the show is that so often there's something and it's like, oh, nothing important is happening. So maybe I like just look at my phone or something and then like, oh, wait, did I miss something important?
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just the way it was told, like I said, maybe it'll make more sense on a rewatch. I wish I had done that, but I was planning to do that today, but then I suddenly last minute got distracted by some things. So, Okay. So yeah, that's Paranoia Agent. We are reaching near the end. I think there's only three episodes left. There's only three episodes left.
Man, everything's ending.
Yeah, it's how far are we into Mob Psycho now? What episodes were we? Let me see. I don't know what episodes it's on exactly, but I think it's I think it only has a few also, so we'll be getting some stuff new soon, hopefully, or maybe we'll just get more reruns, who knows.
We're getting Dragon Ball Super. They're bringing back the, and from what I can tell, it's the beginning of the arc where the universes fight each other. So,
yeah, I just wish they'd even be showing older stuff. I mean, there's got to be something they can just dust off and show that they haven't shown recently that we could enjoy.
Yeah, really. Like, do they have, like, don't have rights to anything? Like, all they got rights to is Dragon Ball Super.
They still have rights to Ghost in the Shell, I think, at least.
Yeah, they ought to put on, I don't care if it's, like, 20 years old. In fact, you'd probably get a bigger audience for it because it's been off the air for so long. Like, Paranoia Agent has actually gotten, you know, well, I don't know, maybe it, I saw My Hero Academia got pretty good ratings last week. It was like number three of all shows on cable for last week. So, yeah.
I guess we'll see. I just hope they have something because otherwise it'll feel weird if we're not covering at least one Toonami show. Anyway,
Yeah, I have to admit that this week I don't know why I did this, but I went back and watched the last few episodes of Naruto and Black Clover. So, Naruto was pretty boring. It was just pretty much like Temari, like, yelling at people, and then Naruto showing up and, you know, being super powerful. But Black Clover was more interesting. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't, but I read the manga, so I know roughly what happened.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Was there anything you wanted to say about it?
Well, that one girl became a member of the Black Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
So they got put on trial for something. I don't know what they were on trial for, but it was like they were all on trial for something. And then the Black Bulls showed up and made her a member of the team. And that's what happened. So
they were getting some blame for like all like the big attack thing that just happened.
Yeah. So, but so I'm like, okay, I've seen this too many times. Mm-hmm. But how do you pronounce her name?
Well, this one I'm confused about because I haven't seen the last few episodes, so I'm sure I thought it was Sekre, but then that older, the former Wizard King said Sekker, and I was like, wait, so is that how it's actually pronounced? But then I didn't hear anyone else say it, so I didn't know if that was how it was actually said or not.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either, and I didn't have the volume on loud enough in order to tell. So I'll have to figure that out this week.
I'll just say Sekre in the meantime. That's what it looks like it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was our sort of brief discussion on Black Clover's, I don't know, 120 to 122, something like that. Okay. So then we move on to some non-Toonami stuff. So let's see, we're on Shangri-La episode 21. So Karin almost gets killed by the building like collapsing, but then loses pretty much all of her money because of, I don't know how this carbon thing, carbon trading thing works. I just know she lost money because of the thing that happened. Why don't they diversify their assets? I've mentioned this before. If you make a bunch of money like in carbon trading, I assume it involves some kind of buying and selling. So if you got a bunch of money, sell some of it and invest that in a more stable commodity, like buy land or invest in the bank or something so that you don't get completely wiped out.
Or do what I always tell my parents to do. Take all the money out and put it in under your mattress. I told them that for the last how many years, because I keep saying that, because they keep losing money. And I'm just like, just take it all out and put it all under your mattress. So that's what Karin should do. Maybe if C, but the problem is what currency? Because apparently Japan is now the poorest country thanks to Karin messing with all the carbon stuff.
Yeah. So
and yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, so there's that. Then they do computer things to fight Medusa, and then they win, but then they don't actually, but they don't actually win. And, and so Medusa is still a threat because it's trying to do bad stuff. Then
they like create typhoons and stuff.
Yeah, and then there is some stuff with Mikuni getting put in charge of something, which is bad, I think. I don't know. So much of this, I'm just like saying, okay, this is good, this is bad, this is what they're doing, but ask me all the specifics and I'll have no idea.
Yeah, so basically she's like going to become the heir of Atlas, supposedly, but you know it can't be that simple. So we'll find out what happens with that next.
Okay. So we got Excel World Episode 10. So they're trying to get that, I can't remember his name, the guy with the armor they were after. So then they go over to go over to like find them so they can fight them and stuff. But then it's actually a trap by some other guy. Chiyuri character wants to be a burst linker, I guess. And then they're like, maybe. But don't worry, you're in the theme song, so you're probably okay.
I like the arguing between Kuru Yukihime and that red haired girl. That's probably my favorite part of the episode. I don't remember her name though. So,
I can't remember her name either. I just say, well, she's the Red King.
Yeah, the Red King, right. So I thought it was fairly good. Not great, but it was pretty good.
Okay. One thing, though, that I noticed, so they were talking about how, because of the way time moves in Excel, in the accelerated world, they were saying, like, you can spend 3 years in there and the time it takes 1 day to pass in the real world. This suddenly brings up a lot of questions for me, because all of a sudden, because I'm thinking, okay, so that, but does that, then how do people ever, like, really be able... it seems like it would actually be kind of hard to encounter people in the accelerated world, because people wouldn't be spending like a super long time there, because that would mean, like, you know, 1 second would be hours or something there. So if you go in like 1 second and then someone else, and then you like spend a long time there and then like leave, then if someone else does it just like 1 second later, then they wouldn't encounter you at all in the accelerated world.
Is it kind of like the hyperbolic time chamber?
Maybe, but, you know, that was the thing. It was weird because time moves so much more slowly, quicker there, which made that one part where Piccolo has an actual conversation with them not really make much sense. Because he's outside, he should be talking to them, and then and because they couldn't really, you couldn't really be having a conversation when the time is going by that quickly, unless he somehow equalized it temporarily when they were doing that or something. Or did they have a conversation? I feel maybe he was only talking to them and they weren't talking back. I can't remember. It's been a while.
But they still shouldn't have been able to hear him, you know? It sort of sounded like this, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So then we got Overlord episode 11. Not much happened, really.
Yeah.
Like, we got introduced to that Pandora's actor, so I guess we know who he is now, because he did show up in Isekai Quartet. And other than that, not really anything, because it's like, we're preparing to fight Shaltir, because, or, so I mean, it just didn't feel like much really shifted from the between the episodes. Except for Ayn's killing off some guys for not really much of a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There was one thing I wanted to note, because so there's a part where they're entering like the door, and this thing show appears in Latin. I want to just double check one quick thing here, Latin. I was like, okay, so they're going to say what it means, right? And then Ayn says, I think it means it, blah, 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 blah. And what he says is not even remotely close to what it actually means. So here's what it, so he says, so this is what it means roughly. I mean, there are a few words here that can have multiple meanings, so maybe I'm not and I'm not super great with this, so I might be getting a few things wrong, but you'll see how different it is from what he said. So what it says in Latin means, is essentially ascending from earth to, heaven and descending to earth and, ascending to earth. I should have written down my translation rather than just looking at it and trying to do it live. Ascending, from earth to heaven and again descending to, earth and receive strength superior and inferior. Receive the strength of the superior and the inferior. I'm sorry I messed that all up. I should have written that down. But you hear what what that means, okay? Here is Ainz's translation. By this means, you will acquire the glory of the whole world, and so you will drive away all shadows and blindness. It's nothing like what it says in Latin, even excusing some weakness in my translation. was that like a thing in the, did they like sort of translate it loosely and then translated it looser in the dub or what? It's because it's not anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is quite the difference.
I mean, Ayn does say, at least I believe that's correct. But if you aren't going to get it correct, then what's the point of having him say that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, just not much to really say about this other than that weird translation. I can say one thing about Overlord. It is making my opinion of that time I got reincarnated as the slime rise a bit. Because you're like looking at it like, well, Rimuru, he struggled a little sometimes. He at least never was really going and killing like people who are kind of innocent. He was like a basically good guy.
So, yeah, and more happened in that time I got reincarnated as a slime. Like, it just feels like nothing is happening.
To be fair, Slime had like 20 something episodes, and we've seen 11 of Overlord, so there was more time for stuff to happen. Well, let me double check how far in was Slime in 11 episodes. Let's see. It looks like okay, so Shizu had already been absorbed by Rimuru. The ogres had shown up and they had joined up. Yeah, like basically it was right after the ogres joined up and then got named, so they were all suddenly attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. So then we've got Saga of Tanya the Evil episode 11. So, the Empire gets like some sweeping victories and everything seems all great. And Tanya even manages to fight off that guy who was trying to kill, her. And they get a bunch of stuff from the Republic, but like Tanya's like is realizing, wait, I think they actually have some kind of secret plan. They're just evacuating and they'll like, attack us again. So she tries to tell people, hey, we should go and fight them. And they're like, and the guy's like, no. So then she tries to do it herself, but then the armistice officially gets put into place, so she can't. So she's really upset about the fact that they, may have lost their chance to just put the war to an end completely. So, and she actually kind of breaks down a bit over it. And I think we're supposed to feel at least sort of bad about it, even if she's, like, not really the hero. The problem is, my reaction to it was, oh, finally, Tanya actually lost at something. So, it gets credit for that, at least. She actually, like, kind of lost at something.
I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out, I was looking up one of the characters who looked like someone else, but, sorry about that.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I'm not really that interested in this anymore because it just, I guess the tone of it is just, it just feels so negative. It just feels like, okay, we're going into a world war or something, like, I'd rather have them trying to stop a war rather than escalate one,
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've only got one episode left of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, depending on how we feel about it, there is the movie that continues it. But yeah, like I said, I mean, it's... They at least didn't get like another complete victory, so that's the thing. This episode was more of a setback to Tanya than anything that's happened to the characters really in Overlord, unless you count Shaltir got possessed or something as one, which I don't really, because Ines is just gonna go, oh, I'll just power up and get her back or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So then we finally got Isekai Quartet episodes 17 to 18. So our first episode has people as basically Valentine's Day stuff, in which actually Tanya does get one of my favorite lines from her, where she's like, says something like, she says, I love Valentine's Day. It's one of my favorite examples of capitalism beating religion. Actually, by the way, fun fact, Valentine's Day, it like dates back to I can't remember, like the 5th century or something, but there wasn't any romantic connotation to it until the 14th century. It wasn't until like the 1300s that there was actually like some idea of love or romance being associated with it. Before it was just, you know, like a thing. It was just, you know, a holiday for celebration of a saint who didn't have anything to do with romance. So, yeah. Anyway, so that bit was funny. There's a bunch of like fun, goofy stuff about people giving chocolate stuff. Beetlejuice shows up actually, and he's called Beetle with a B in this thing, even though. It's actually with a P, and that's what he's referred to in the English dub of ReZero.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very confusing to me that, because Funimation dubbed both of them.
Yeah.
Now, the rights ended up going to Crunchyroll somehow, which is why they have the dub available, but like the dubbing itself, I think was done by Funimation in both cases. So it's just kind of weird that they use correctly the P in ReZero, but in this one, suddenly it's B. But yeah, he just randomly shows up at the school and hangs out with Albedo for a bit. And it's was kind of funny. Just like also him randomly just screaming death at times.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out where that came from, but like he never did that in the actual show, so
I think it was like supposed to be like a goof on his like weird mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish he had done more, but I guess you couldn't actually really have him interact with the characters from ReZero without things getting weird.
Yeah.
So. But it was still amusing. Also, because I see him in the theme song, I'm like, huh, I don't remember seeing him before. I look back, he was not in the theme song before this episode.
Oh.
So they just, like, edited it slightly to include him in this one sort of group shot thing, I guess to avoid any sort of spoilers. So, yeah, that was the first of the episodes. The second one is them playing a dodgeball thing because they get into a dispute over what the best topping for fried chicken is. So they just have like a kind of goofy dodgeball thing with them using their powers, and then by the end of it they can't remember what they were actually fighting about. and make up, although it does unfortunately go with the kind of typical like ending joke of then they start arguing about something different.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, these episodes were enjoyable and kind of funny.
Yeah. I think both of them were pretty good. To be honest, I watched this so long ago that I've forgotten all about what they were, and I'm like, oh yeah, those were pretty good. So, yeah.
And that's the shows. Then I guess if you do you want to give the top threes or?
Yeah. Let's see, my top three. Third place, I think I'll have Isekai Quartet. Second place will be Shangri-La. And the big winner of this week has to be Paranoia Agent. Yes, it has to win, especially for that scene where the little slugger is chasing the guy down as he's driving a car, and he's creeping up on him and gaining on him. And then he shows up in the back seat. Like that was just the best moment. So yeah, Paranoid Agent has to win for this week.
Okay. Well, for me, I will put Paranoia Agent in third place. I'll put Shangri-La in second, and then Isekai Quartet will win.
Okay.
So that's our shows. Next week, we'll finish up with Tanya the Evil, and then we'll also be covering the premiere of the new season of ReZero.
Yeah. What day does that come out?
Is it July 7th? It's something like that. I remember I saw two different dates. One, which I think was just when it was in Japan, and one when it was on Crunchyroll, because of different time zones gives different things. Let me check and see if I can find a more specific thing. I don't know. It'll be sometime next week before we record is the important thing.
Yeah. There's no Toonami next week, right?
No, which is just as good considering that since we'll be watching more non-Toonami stuff than normal.
Right. Yeah. They decided that they're going to put on Dragon Ball Super, a marathon of that for the 4th of July, which it's like, okay, I don't know how many times we need to see Dragon Ball Super, but
I mean it's their most popular show, I think. So
right, but it's only their most popular because they always give it the best time slot. Like if they put it at 2:30 in the morning and put Naruto at midnight, I guarantee Naruto gets better ratings than it. You know, so. it all has to do with the time slot.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to double check to see it. I think it was okay, it's July 8th. It comes to Crunchyroll on July 8th. And I know that because the July 7th was when it debuts in Japan. I assume the difference is because of a time zone thing. So July 8th, that's next Wednesday. I don't know what time July 8th, but sometime then. So, yeah, it'll be something we'll watch the day before or the day that we record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it'll be interesting because we have not actually... Not only have we not, I don't think I've ever really watched an anime as literally as it came out. There's been times where I watched like the dub as it came out, but never the original thing. That's actually going to be a little annoying because I'm so used to the English voices.
Oh, yeah.
Not just from watching main ReZero, but also Isekai Quartet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last time I saw something that came out as it was in Japan, it was a show by the name of ReZero. So, I actually watched it like as it aired in Japan, and there were no subtitles. So I watched the whole episode like, and it was the final episode. So I watched it, and I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense. It actually surprisingly made sense, even though I didn't understand a single word. So, but hopefully they have subtitles, and we don't have to watch it like without subtitles, like I did that time. So.
I mean, I'm sure Crunchyroll will have the subtitles up and such. But, yeah, that'll be... So we'll do that. Yeah, and soon-ish we'll be bringing some new. We'll be watching some new stuff for the podcast, but that won't be for a few weeks still.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's been our show. You can find our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. You know, I used to think it was kind of cute that if I just kept having that final ending zinger, but now I'm running out of ideas for what to put there. So we'll just say, see you next time.
Bye, Nee.